All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18, it says here, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your goodness tonight, for your grace. We're thankful, Lord, that you've brought us here for this midweek service. And we're just asking, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, that you would just encourage us. Would you draw us near to yourself? And Lord, help us in this great responsibility of overcoming our fears, and especially in this context of witnessing, sharing the gospel, sharing our faith with the lost world that needs it so desperately. Would you guide us now? And we'll thank you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if you'll notice there, we're continuing our study on the topic of sharing Jesus without fear. And as you notice there in the paragraph, many Christians refuse to share their faith because of their fear of rejection. We all experience that. That's just not one person here. We all are faced with that. How can the child of God overcome this fear that keeps them from being a bold witness for Christ? And I want to mention some things tonight that I think will help us in fulfilling that responsibility and overcoming that fear. First of all, I want to see that it's your ministry. It's your ministry. Write that in there in the first blank. It is a God-given ministry for every single person, every single child of God, I should say. It is a God-given ministry. Look at the verse we just read and look there at the last part. It says, "And hath given," that's God, "hath given to us." Who's the us? That's believers. That's you. That's me. "Has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." You know, it's not just the pastor's job. It's just not the evangelist. It's just not the Christian school teacher. It is every person's responsibility. You know, it is a ministry. And you could call it a job. Now, you know, we have to be careful using that, but it really is. It's a job that God has given us, a work. You can call it that too, a work that God has given to us while on earth. And we have to take it seriously to know that, hey, it's not just for such and such. You know, in fact, in Ephesians, remember what it talks about? The pastor equipping the saints for the work of what? The ministry. So it is my responsibility to set an example, but to also try to encourage you folks, and the evangelist does the same, to say, hey, you have the ministry as well. You, in fact, if you want to be technical, we're all called to the ministry. Now, God will set aside some for specific tasks as far as going to the mission field to become in a pastoral ministry or an evangelist in some sort. There are specific callings, of course, but generally speaking, we all are called to the ministry. Isn't that a blessing? It's a privilege. It's an honor. And so that will help us overcome our fear that, hey, we've been assigned with this. Now, we could go ahead and say, yeah, I have a ministry too. You know what I have a ministry as? As a husband. I have a responsibility. I have a ministry. I have a responsibility as a husband to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I have a responsibility to provide for her. Now, I could wake up one day and like, oh, I'm just scared to death of this. And then sometimes I really am scared. I ain't gonna lie. Not because of Joanna. She's super sweet. But just knowing that I have such a huge responsibility to be a godly husband and a godly dad, it can be overwhelming, the fear there. But the fact of the matter is, I have a choice there. I can say, well, I just don't think I could do this. I'm just not gonna do it. That'd be horrible, wouldn't it? Well, if we're not careful, we'll do that same thing about witnessing. You know, God's given me a responsibility and a ministry, and we can just be like, I just have a hard time with it. I know it's my ministry, but, you know, and then we don't do it. It will help us to understand that that's what God has given us to do. So that's the blank for number one. Number two, understand. And this is, all these are important, but this is sometimes people struggle with in different realms, but we got to understand it. Understand that this thing of witnessing, sharing Jesus without fear, understand that it is not a contest. It is not a contest. That is carnal. That is wrong. When a church starts comparing, well, hey, you know, I witnessed to 30 people this week. How many did you witness to? That is wrong. That's the wrong spirit. Jesus never asked his disciples to how many they had witnessed to that week. He never got them to compare themselves. In fact, he would discourage that spirit. And we have to be careful that, because that can bring a fear. It's like, oh man, I don't witness as much as that person, or I don't do it as much, or the same way, and there becomes a comparison, and you get this spirit of, man, this thing seems like a contest, and that is a lie of the devil. It's not a contest. It's just simple obedience. You do it when you can, as God gives you opportunity and gives you power. You do it. Don't be worried about how many times you did it or how many times Johnny or Sally did it. That's irrelevant. You make sure you're just saying, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And when He gives me the opportunity, I'll do it. You know what that else? You know what else that takes away? It takes away the guilt factor. The condemnation is like, oh, you know, I didn't witness at least 40 times today. You know, it takes away the spirit of it. What you want to do is you just want to witness when you can. Now, I think we got to use good common spiritual sense, too. If you go for a week or so and you hadn't given out the gospel in some way, it is good to take inventory and ask yourself, why not? Maybe there is. Maybe you were up in the bed sick all week. So anyway, you understand the spirit there. It's not a contest. Look what the verse I put there in John. It says there in that last part of the verse that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. We're in a team. We're not trying to win against each other. We're not in competition with each other. Praise God, we're working together against the forces of hell. And Jesus Christ is our head and leader. Amen? He's leading the way. He's blazing the path each day that we walk and the people that we come in contact with. It's the Lord Jesus who is leading us and using us. Paul told the Corinthians that don't compare yourselves. Look what it says there. It says, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And we just don't want to get into that. I just want us to be sure that we're avoiding the fact that it's a contest. I've heard of places, and if you've been in a place and you did this and it blessed your heart, I don't want to rob that seed, okay? But I'm telling you, we're not going to do it here where you possibly get different size trophies to how many people you won to Christ that month. That to me, cultivates a spirit of competition when it comes to soul winning. We're not in competition. We're just simply obeying the Savior. Amen? Number three, rejection is not a sign of failure. Now that's a big one, because that's what we feel like in many times in our flesh. That person said no. I just went to them and they said go away. So what we do in our flesh, we tend to feel like we just failed. We just failed God. It's just like an idiot. This person didn't even acknowledge the fact that I was trying to give them something. And there's that tendency to feel rejected, and then therefore you let this fear overcome. You say, well, I just can't do this. But listen, can I tell you something about that? Even when in rejection, you are victorious. Because what is the test of success? I'm sorry for sounding redundant, but sometimes that's what I need and that's what we need. The test of success is simple what? Obedience. That's it. I attempted to give my friend, neighbor, whoever, a gospel tract, stranger. They didn't take it. I'm sorry about that. But I don't need to feel rejected. I don't need to feel bad about it. And if we go to that whole mentality, well, I'm just a failure. Every time I witness somebody, they turn me down. Well, let's ask ourselves, was Jesus a failure? That's the next question. Did Jesus fail? How many times was He rejected? How many times did He face rejection, even all the way up to the cross of Calvary? I mean, I wouldn't dare say our Savior was a failure. Oh, no. Did Paul fail? The next blank there. He was rejected over and over again. Towns he would go in, people would not listen to him. Was he a failure? No, absolutely not. He was being obedient. So therefore, he was a success. When people reject your message, there in quote, there in your handout, it is not you that they reject. They are rejecting Jesus and God's Word. So you got to keep that in mind as a way of encouragement. One of my mentors, Dr. Ernest Childs, said this: not everyone will say yes, but everybody ought to have the chance to say no. Please let that sink in and encourage you, my friends. Not everyone will say yes that you hand a tract to or you talk to about the Lord or share your faith with, that you invite to church. Not everyone will say yes, but at least you have given them the opportunity to say no. And then I put the statement there: you never fail when sharing the gospel. Never. It does not exist. There is no failure in sharing the gospel. All right, number four, we're going to move through this quickly, okay? You guys have been listening quickly, and I appreciate that. All right, number four here is be ready. That is a way to overcome fear. Many times we get caught off guard and we become intimidated. Why? Because we're really not ready to share our faith. We haven't prepared our hearts. We haven't prepared our minds. We haven't prepared ourselves with the tools that God expects us to have when we go out. Number one, let's pray for opportunities. John chapter 4, verse 35. Jesus tells us there's plenty of opportunities. Look what he says: lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. You know what our Savior's saying right there? Ready. They're waiting. Just go find them. Go look for them. Maybe you won't, some won't respond, but he's saying they're ready. Just go and look for the opportunities. It's amazing the opportunities God gives to those that ask for the opportunities. If I open up the floor right now, we could go for probably a couple hours on times in your life, I'm sure, where God just brought some divine appointments, and it was amazing. I'll tell you one recently with me, and I don't take any credit for this. I give God all the glory. But we went out on the Broad River the other day, and it was a beautiful day. And there were some other folks out there enjoying the beautiful river. And this one couple in particular happened to pull up on the same beach that we did. We pulled off to the side and had our lunch, and we had a great time. Did a little swimming there, but they pulled up and we just started small talk. In fact, I think it all started when we got them to take a picture of us and as a group. But this guy, he was real nice. He was friendly to me and got to talking with him. And come to find out, I'm not sure if Christian's here, but he knew Christian. He knew Christian Heist because this guy had a buddy that lives on that same street as the Heist family. And he mentioned Christian. Yeah, that's a neat guy, you know, because I know Christian been up there working with Mark. So we had small talk, but I didn't have any tracts with me because, you know, we're out there in the water and I'm not taking gospel literature out there. And I flip five times. If you don't believe me, you ask Thomas. He'll tell you. OK, but Thomas was with me, but I didn't take any gospel literature. I wanted to hand something to him. So we just said, hey, well, we're over at Crooked Creek Baptist. You know where we're at? He said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, you come and visit us sometime. And he said, okay, I'll think about that. All right, so we went on about our day, and I didn't think anything else about this guy. Well, I was in Captain D's 2 days ago. Here I am with my sweet wife and little Caroline. We're at the counter, and lo and behold, as I'm ordering my fish plate, and it was good, I'm here to tell you, I looked to my right, and sure enough, there he was. The same man out there in the middle of the Broad River on that day, standing right beside me. And I looked at him and I was like, I know you from somewhere. He said, the river. I said, yes. I said, I was just telling my wife walking in there. It's too bad I lost my hat and sunglasses on that trip. I said, it's good to see you. And he's like, yeah. And thank the Lord. I don't always, I'm not bragging on myself, but just happened that day to have some tracks on me. And so I was able to give him a track and invite him to church, and it's got the gospel on it. And what I was just wanting to tell you that for is because, listen, God will give us opportunities. They're all around us every single day. We don't have to go on a hunt for them. They're there. And so we ask for that. And then also, in being ready, we need to pray for boldness. Look, the Christians in the beginning of the church, the first church, asked for that. Look what they say there written in your handout. Acts 4:29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Now, they were being threatened. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak what? Thy word. So there was a prayer there for boldness, and there are other examples in Scripture where that was actually sought after that we find in the book of Acts. Now, I find something very interesting here. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to find it. Some of you might be able to help me. But where is it? I know it's in 1 Corinthians, but where Paul said he came with much fear and trembling. Where is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but I'm not sure exactly. I thought it was chapter 1. Does anybody know where that is? Bible quiz here, Bible quiz team. 2:3, thank you. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to look there, verse 3. He's talking about, this is the Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle, the man of God, the greatest missionary outside of Jesus Christ on the face of this earth that preached the gospel everywhere. Listen to this man's testimony. He says in verse 3, and I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That is the key, I believe, to understanding this idea of boldness. It's not my power. It is the power of Jesus Christ, even in my fear. So if you ever think about yourself, man, I was trembling, I was stuttering, and you know, handing somebody a track and your hand's doing this right here. Yep. And they're like, what in the world's wrong with you? Well, fear and trembling, that's the Apostle Paul, that's the picture. He was scared to death. And I'll tell you, that is a fear that can overcome you. But you know what you do? You do exactly what the Apostle Paul did. You do it anyway, and God comes over you and shows you His power. Because even through that fear that you have, God's going to demonstrate His power. And so we need to pray for boldness. And then this last point C for our tonight's study, and we're going to continue this series to encourage us in this thing of sharing Jesus without fear. But this one is, carry gospel tracts. How can we be ready? We can pray for opportunities. We can pray for boldness. And thirdly, we can carry gospel tracts. Now, here are some practical reasons for giving tracts. You see right there in your handout. First of all, tracts are less invasive. Doesn't seem to infringe upon people's time as much. And rather than holding them up when they're trying to get home for dinner, or they've got something going on, people are very busy in life today, and instead of trying to hold them up in some way, a lot of times you can just simply hand them a gospel tract and say, can I give this to you to read on your free time? And again, don't worry about the rejection part. You're offering to that, and it's just an opportunity to be less invasive. Secondly, tracts speak to the individuals when they are ready. People don't. All right, so the idea is when they get ready to look at that tract, that's when they'll look at it. People don't necessarily look at them right away, but they might stick them in their pocket. They might put them on that dresser drawer. Who knows how God's going to use that. But the idea is when they get ready, they will be able to read it at that time. We see that they will read it when they want to. But then I want us to see also that tracts can find their way into people's homes when we can't. That's a perfect example is when we go out in our neighborhoods and we're just inviting people to our church and sharing the gospel. You know, many times people don't want to sit there and talk. And I understand that. They got things going on. The Georgia game's on, and it's like, what are you doing on my doorstep? We don't make it a habit to go during the Georgia game, okay? God did give us a brain, all right? So, but we understand that, you know, they may not have time, but they can just take that politely up many times and read it later. And it can go in their home. It may go in the trash. I don't know that. God does, but at least I gave them the opportunity to throw it away. And then we also see that tracts don't get into arguments. They just state their case. You know, sometimes in our flesh, we want to sit there and debate and, oh, no, no, you can't. And sometimes that's necessary to be able to explain the gospel. But many times the tract just states the points and that's it. There's no discussion. They get to read it. They get to reread it. If they're interested, they can analyze it. They can look over it. And it gives them that opportunity just for the Word of God to speak for itself. God's Word, another point here, will not return void. God's Word will not return void. And that's the blessed thing about gospel tracts is that help us to be ready? Because how many times are we going to be able to carry our Bibles with us and people we see out in public and that we are in contact with, how practical is it and say, hey, sir, listen, I got my Bible here with me today. Let me just share some scripture with you. That's weird, okay? Now, if they're expecting, you know, you to talk to them, that's one thing. And if God leads in that way, in a miraculous way, that's fine. But it's not the norm, is my point. The norm is people are passing that you're coming with in contact every day. The practical thing would be is to give them something that has the Word of God in it that they can read when they have an opportunity. And that is something that God's Word promises that it will not return void. And then also you see here they introduce the gospel and our local church. It gives an opportunity instead of sitting there and say, sir, you can visit us at www.ccbcathens.com. And, you know, you don't have to go through all that. Our number is 706-543-4233. I don't even know if that's our phone number. I don't really know it. I have to look on the track every time. What's your phone number? 1 second, please. Let me look on there. I don't even know our own phone number. Where was I going with that? Oh, information about our church. So we have an opportunity to, did I have a senior moment right there? Yeah, watch out, right. Y'all got me distracted there, all right. But anyway, we want the information there that they can go on and look at later. And just find our website. They can see a picture of our church. They can see where we are on the map to some degree and look through that. And it gives them an opportunity just to inform them that, hey, we're here. And they may already have a good church, and that's great. Anytime somebody tells me, oh, yeah, we're part of a good Bible-believing church, I say, praise God. That's what I say with them, and I rejoice with them. And so that is the point. And then you see here this last question I have, do you know the people that don't hand out gospel tracts? This is profound, I know, but I'm going to share it with you, okay? It's normally the people that do not carry them, okay? It's normally the people that do not carry them. Now, I do not always have this with me. I try to make it a habit. You women have an advantage with a purse that you can put them in a folder or something to keep them from getting bent up. But gospel tracts do not get handed out primarily because they're not carried. Now, sometimes it's not practical. I mean, you're going out for a jog and, you know, there are times in life where it's just really not practical. But there are times, most definitely, it is. Your day-to-day, just having them somewhere, even if you stick them in a book or a folder that you carry with you, it is something that I think is absolutely necessary. Let me just take a minute to promote. These are just a few, not all of them. Here's just about five or six gospel, really good gospel tracts that we have available at our three exits in our church. And I just want to encourage you, church, to start getting more of these. Because you won't hand them out if you don't carry them with you. But if you do, you'll be ready. And you'll be ready at that time when someone asks you what church you go to or somebody, God gives you a divine appointment to share the gospel. And these are really well written. And I thank God for them. This is Ms. Beverly's testimony. I have my personal testimony and then several others that I would encourage you to get these. And I'm just going to encourage you. My prayer is that these gospel tracts will get emptied out at a much faster rate than they currently are. I think there are several people taking them at this time, and I'm thankful for that. But I got Luke Swafford refilling them for me, and I kind of keep an inventory by looking at what we have in our office. And when I go in there, I'm not seeing it diminish very much. So that means, tells me one thing, we're not refilling the racks. And so please make it a point to get those. There are practical things that you can buy to protect your gospel tracts. I personally just happened to come across this one. You know what this was at one time? It was a little notepad with a pen that kind of slides in the side there. And I got it probably about 8 years, 8 or 9 years ago. And I just use it to keep in my pocket to protect. But you can use your own, whatever works practically for you. But please, I think it is it's a way to be ready. To pray for opportunities, pray for boldness, and carry gospel tracts. We're going to talk about some innovative ways to use gospel tracts in the next study. But can I just brag for a minute on you folks? Something just thrilled my heart the other day. I was at the, as Marianne calls it, I was at the DG, all right? The Dollar General. That's the redneck Walmart, okay? And I love Dollar General, so I must be a redneck. But that is something I'll go in there, and sometimes I'll just walk the aisles and just see what they got for sale, amen? I like the Dollar General. And you meet some interesting people in the Dollar General, let me tell you. That's some good witnessing opportunities right there. All right, but anyway, I went to the cash register, and I offered the lady there a gospel tract. And before she took it, she looked at me sort of with a pleasant look. You know, it was pleasant. She said, "Let me guess, Crooked Creek Baptist." She probably thought I was crazy. I was like, "Glory!" She said, "There's been two or three people that have been trying to give that have been giving me those over this week or period of days." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord." She said, and she gave the compliment. She said, "Your people are doing a great job." I said, "Well, ma'am, God gets the glory." And so I want to encourage you, church, you keep doing that. That's a witness. That's a testimony. And we trust that that lady will come to know Christ. And she promised me she would read it. And so we want to just do that. And you'll be shocked. And I think it's going to be a good shock. And I'm going to shut up after this. But I think this is going to be a good. I think it's going to be a good shock when we get the glory and see the difference that the gospel tracts made that we handed out. The times that we shared our faith, maybe we didn't have a gospel tract, but maybe we made a verbal invitation to someone to invite them to church, or some way shared your testimony. Didn't always have to be a tract. But we're going to be shocked. Remember our friend on George Street that we watched last week up in Glory? These people that got saved, nobody, he didn't hear anything for 15 years. And nobody responded in 8 years, 15 years. And then he starts getting word that people have gotten saved from him. People have been called to the mission field. And, oh, we're going to have a joyous time in heaven. But listen, let's be some of those that are celebrating. All right? And let me tell you something. Don't get discouraged because, listen, Jesus told us we'll be rejoicing together. Maybe God's going to use you as primarily a sower. Maybe that's what God has decided for you. Maybe he's not going to let you see a lot of fruit. Okay? Don't be discouraged about that. Because you will reap with those that have sown and that have been able to reap as well. We'll rejoice together. Isn't that a blessing? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this this truth here about sharing you, Lord, without fear. Oh God, you've given us so many reasons not to fear. But yet, Lord, me included, we many times make excuses. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us in this to be praying, Lord God, to be looking, to be ready, to have gospel tracts. And Lord, just to understand that this is a ministry, a God-given ministry for every one of your children. And may we not make excuses tonight, but may we give you all the glory for what you're going to do in the days ahead as we witness and share Jesus without fear. I do pray in Christ's name. Amen.